Good morning, everyone. Nice to see you all. This title is a good bit of data to justify some thoughts about going forward in addressing a group of sucking bugs, some myriads, some plant bugs, and also some stink bugs that differ in occurrence up and down the Texas Gulf Coast. And from just south of Houston and all the way down to the Rio Grande Valley. And that complex changes. So it presents some challenges of how to manage, how to sample, how to monitor, how to make some decisions. And I have had a lot of help in the audience is Stephen Biles, Clyde Crumley. I don't know if Danielle's here, but we got some information all up and down the coast. And let's see if that works. So today I'm going to give you three parts, done in sequence of how we initiated some investigations. I did when I first got to South Texas about 4 years ago. Going to give you the first part is my initial work on damage and thresholds for what I naively said, South Texas, and get to speak about a plant bug, and then the recognition that we're dealing with a species complex, and a simple question, are damage and bull rot equal? And then is comprehensive management important? The complex we're talking about, so we're talking about boll feeders, a plant bug that's a verde plant bug. Some of you who know cotton very well, it has a sister species in Australia. But in the U.S., it's in South Texas along the Texas Gulf Coast. I have friends in Louisiana that haven't detected it in their Gulf Corps parts. We also have stink bugs, greens, and I'll show you the species complex. And we have, this is the damage up from Stephen Biles area in 2010. And of course, those of you who know stink bugs, signs of internal feeding, and it does introduce bull rot, the species complex. That's a very important, really magnifies the damage big time if you get bull rot introduced. So in the idea of damage and thresholds is that we want to prevent harvest damage at the end and judge some of our in-season decision-making on some combination of bug presence, what species are available, when first detected in regard to host development, what kind of feeding pressure we have, what kind of bull response do you get. So do you base decision-making on bug presence, on indicators of feeding, and following the progression of bull response, of course, you get, if disease is there, you get disease development, rot development. And at the end of the day in the harvest, you can have one lock damage with no rot, multiple locks damage without rot, and multiple locks damage with rot as well. So that's our syndrome that we're dealing with, all boll feeders, although I would say this verde plant bug will feed on some fairly large squares as well, some developing embryos. So my first look at this is, there's been some surveys that have been done before, going more on the upper Gulf Coast down to Corpus Christi, and then we did some work from Corpus Christi, the lower Gulf Coast, down to the Rio Grande Valley over a couple years, surveying commercial fields, a variety of sampling methods, you know, we didn't take yield data, but we did an open bowl damage indicator score, just how many locules were damaged, and indicators of percent amount of bowl rot, just a visual estimation, which was which did the best we could, just to get a sense of what was going on. And of course, grower reports on economic damage. The nutshell is in this lower coastal bend, for the purpose of this study, down to the Rio Grande Valley. There's cotton flea hopper everywhere. And then the next one, getting into boll feeders, it's all about this Korean tides or verde plant bug. Very few green and brown stink bugs. And we had distinctive reports of grower economic damage and verified our own observations at the end of the season. At the end of the day, I showed in 15 fields here, there was about 20 to 30 or so that we looked at. And so we got a good sense. This verde plant bug is causing economic damage, and have what I'm not showing is some indicators of boll rot as well. So we got a sense this was a driving force bug of the boll feeders, this verde plant bug. So we initiated a very classic economic threshold study, insect-based, by doing caging work. Worked off of some of Meg's previous work with flea hoppers and caging and others with caging. We did a whole plant cage test and a branch test for this, again, verde plant bug field collected, infested for 7 days during either early bloom or pink bloom. And the branch study was giving a sense of looking at preference across boll ages, and it was a choice test. So we sleeved an entire branch where we had 3 to 4 bulls of varying ages on there, from squares to 15-day-old bulls, to look at the choice. The nutshell of this was that fruit abscission and boll rot were the primarily responsible for yield loss in the whole plant cage. Definitely boll rot was out there, and it was definitely by some isolation cages. We know that, you know, the bug was implicated in of introducing this disease, and we're working with a plant pathologist to nail that down. It certainly feeds on squares within 2 days of blooms and feeds on bulls up to 10 days old in that branch study. No harvest damage was detected when the insects infested peak bloom cotton, which is week 3 or 4 of bloom in this particular study. And when we did the classic economic threshold approach based on some averages of market value and all, we calculated a threshold of 0.22 bugs per plant using a sampling technique of a beet bucket, which is about 50% effective. What was nice about this, or on a 100 plant basis, 22 bugs. What was nice about this is the sister species in Australia, there had been some threshold work done. They did it on a meter row and working off of some plant density estimates and all. Our work came up very close to theirs. So that was really nice. I felt really comfortable with that. Problem solved, right? And that's when Stephen Biles and Clyde told me, well, you know, we have stink bugs too. And I said, well, no, we don't. Or at least I was talking about the Rio Grande Valley and Corpus Christi. Yet there is a complex. They were absolutely right, of course. We have cotton flea hopper everywhere. That's our consistent one. Square feeder, pre and early bloom cotton, that's where it's really important. Early to mid bloom, we have verde plant bug kicking in, and cotton flea hopper still of importance. And then mid to late bloom, we have stink bugs tend to come in a little later on. 2 species of green stink bug, 3 species of brown stink bugs. And just for fun, really, really late season, sometimes we get leaf-footed bug as well, which is a boll feeder. I already showed you the above graph from the lower coastal bend to the Rio Grande Valley, which is a problem on around 200,000 acres of cotton at that risk. And then up in the upper coastal bend, it's not trivial. Clyde and Stephen could correct me if I got the acreage wrong, but basically from Corpus Christi south, around 200,000, and up north, around 200,000. Flea hopper everywhere. Verde plant bug. We're getting to feel very confident for the coastal bend area, lower coastal bend, the Rio Grande Valley. Verde plant bug is the big player, along with cotton flea hopper. Upper coastal bend is going to vary year to year. Verde plant bug can occur. Stink bugs can occur. First detect, mid to late bloom, and and it's got to be a C species complex. That's Brad Hopkins' work in the lower work in the 2004-05 upper coastal bend. There are just more stink bugs down there. Why? Lots of different reasons. I'll just throw in corn and sugar. Soybeans as an example of why. So in addressing the species complex, we just did a simple thing this summer. Even though we were in a heavy drought year, we collected some bugs and did some side-by-side comparisons. I had a good summer intern, James Glover, who did this particular type of work. And again, what we were working off of is our damage in boll and the amount that boll rot introduction equal. Remember, working off of a threshold for the insect base of 22 verti plant bug per 100 plants. And the stink bugs, you'll see Stephen's talk, he's working off of signs of internal feeding, cracking green bolls, 15 to 20%. So that's sort of our baseline. And how do you marry all this together, or is it even possible to marry it all together? Again, there's a verti plant bug, there's an example of feeding, and there's the greens and the brown species of examples of feeding. The good news, what is common, I will call it good news, the injury and the damage, very similar, the symptomology is similar, boll rot injury signs, similar. Or I should say, really the same. You can't distinguish it visually. You'll have to do molecular techniques, if ever developed, to distinguish what species is based upon looking at that. Signs of boll rot, if it's introduced, same thing. Probably a different species. It's probably a bacterial complex. Which one it is, who knows? Basically, visually, it's all the same. Form of harvest damage, all the same. What is or may be different? We absolutely know the sampling methods are different. Stink bugs, all the folks from the southeast know, it's very hard to sample these bugs. Got to crack green bolls. With verti plant bug, as they did in Australia, and we're able to do here, either a beet sheet or what we use as a beet bucket, very effective. You could use a classic insect-based economic threshold for it. Damage severity, that's the unknown. You know, are the stink bugs more problematic or not? We'll find out. Here's the side-by-side comparison. We originally got to do both individual boll cages as well as whole plant cages. Due to the drought, we had few bugs, so we did what we could do, individual boll caging. One adult per boll, 3-day infestation rate. We got the bugs that we could get obtained at the same time, field conditions. Verti plant bug and southern green stink bug was our stink bug comparator. And of course, a control collected from the same source, in this case, self-dose sorghum early July. We looked at with our limited numbers, we were able to look at 3-day-old bolls and 5-day-old bolls, and we were able to do each particular time 20 to 30 bolls repeated 3 times. And there are the 3 measurements that we did. Here are the findings. I'm going to give you 3 data slides and get down to similar or not. This boll rating from a 0 to 4 scale, basically the number of locules that were damaged. Our control, you know, we had very little damage, so our cages worked effectively. The number, looking at the counts that we did, just overall perspective is verti plant bugs, again, tended to feed on younger bolls, it looked like. Some of the green stink bug, more older bolls. That is consistent with the previous literature. After we boot up our numbers, I think we'll get significant differences out of that. But right now, basically the types of damage is the same. Severity of damage, that's going to be a different story that is, we're going to clear up with additional work. But certainly the period of boll injury widens when both species are present. Way in the south part of Texas with just verti plant bug, we got to be careful early season, early bloom to mid bloom. Whereas up north where they have both verti plant bug and the green stink bugs on occasion, they're looking from early bloom all the way till later in bloom as a potential risk period of time. The amount of rot, okay? And one more minute, thank you. The amount of rot is tracking the amount of locule damages. See that? Really similar. So not to be unexpected at all. And again, if you got a species mix, you have a widened boll injury period. And then lastly, looking at sea cotton weight, which we have right now, it is also tracking the same thing. Good controls, good yield potential, and green stink bugs, it looks like maybe, although right now not significantly different, we will say the yield loss from southern green stink bug is equal to or possibly greater than, as we do more work, than yield loss from the Verde plant bug. So one green stink bug is the same as or maybe a bit bigger in regard to damage potential than Verde plant bug, but generally similar. So at the end, comprehensive management for by last minute, it is essential. Our difficulties and our challenges is we can't use the same sampling method. We got to crack green goals for the stink bugs. We can use a beet bucket technique or Verde plant bugs, adds additional information. The symptomology is all the same. The risk period widens when you have both species, and we got to look at damage severity more important. And this is my last slide, thinking thoughts on current decision making. If you just have Verde plant bug, lower Gulf Coast to the Rio Grande Valley, we think we have a good technique, a good insect-based economic threshold. When you get near threshold, great, the cracks and green bowls. If you're with stink bugs, absolutely focus on cracking green bowls. I will just defer to Stephen's talk coming up in regard to more things like that, and thank you for your attention.
Thank you very much, Mike.